Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Well, hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. My name is Michael Rice, and I'm standing in for Jeannie, who's having some technical difficulties with her computer. And so if you'd be patient for a moment, she'll have the chat room up as soon as her computer reboots. She just called me. She's in a different location. We're delighted that you're here to join us for our conversation about first century Aramaic forgiveness. And our work is simple. Our work is that of recognizing that every time that we're in pain, there's some part of us involved in the process, and our culture teaches us words that support us in thinking that everybody else is the problem in our lives. And when we think and speak as though somebody else is the problem in our lives, then the part of us that creates our problems, we avoid. We actually hide from ourselves with the language that we use. And so the work is that of recapturing those parts of the mind that never belonged inside of a human being in the first place. We have a simple definition of a human being. It doesn't mean someone who's got a body who can walk and talk. That does not necessarily make one human. You know, oftentimes we'll hear people in the culture say, well, you know, how could a human being do an atrocity like that? Well, our offering is that human beings aren't capable of atrocities. Absolutely not possible. They're not capable of weakness. They're not capable of the insanities that pass for human life in our culture. They're simply, when a body, or what we call a body, is doing those things, there's simply no human life there that is active. And so hold a newborn child, you know exactly what a human life is. We're all designed to function with that active presence of love within us continuously. And when we're not, then we have lost contact with our human lives. And when we lose contact with that, in the ancient teachings, that was called the first death. And the restoration of human life, the recovery from the world of hostility and fear, is the work of the recovery of a human life. And until we choose to engage in that work, we will tend to function out of the literal insanities, those things that rob us of our human lives, the hostilities and fears of the generations. I was talking with someone this morning, and it just struck me in such a powerful way in having this conversation. This is someone that's been around to work for many years, and they're still talking about loving somebody. And just the depth at which the disaster of changing the meaning of words has within the human system. You know, Vladimir Lenin, we've talked about this many times, Vladimir Lenin tells us, by the way, today is March 17th, I just realized this. It isn't usually my job to open the show, so today is March 17th, 2015. Happy St. Patrick's Day. But Vladimir Lenin says, if you want to destroy a culture, the way you do that is you change the meaning of its words. And I've been contemplating, as if I haven't got enough things on my plate, starting to work with dictionary of the actual meaning of the words that have been changed. And the word that I was having a conversation with someone about this morning, that they've been around the work so long and heard the conversation so many times, they were talking about the scriptural idea of, well, you know, you love God, you love your neighbor as yourself. And when you recognize that you can't love somebody, when you recognize we've been told a lie, the meaning of that word has been changed. Hold a newborn child, you know what love is. It is a state of being. It's not something we do to each other. We come into the world as this awesome, pure presence of love, and then activated into our awareness is that which is in our genes and that which is going on in our culture. And we become lost in the words of the culture, and one who comes in as the active presence of love, by and large in this culture, very quickly has the experience of themselves as love pounded out of themselves, and then they're taught that love is a verb. It's something that we do to each other, and they're sent off to find somebody to love them, which leads to all sorts of insanities, the things that people will do in order to receive what the world calls love, and there's the word change. It isn't love at all, it's approval. When we realize that the behaviors, so many of the behaviors that people do that are bizarre, they're doing so that someone will approve of them, and they call that approval love, and it's not love at all. So when we're tricked into thinking something is true that simply isn't, then we lose the ability to think reasonably, sensibly, and correctly about whatever the topic is. And so when we're told to love one another, we're running around trying to do something that's not possible. Please, please, let go of the pursuit of trying to love anybody in your life. Pursue experiencing yourself as the presence of love. Pursue the removal of everything that takes you away from that presence. Bring the presence of love into your body. Incarnate as a human being, as love. And then you'll function as a human being rather than function as a non-human, a non-being, hoping that somebody will approve of them and call that love, hoping that you'll find somebody that you can approve of and call that love. And the problem with that kind of so-called love is that as soon as that person stops doing what you approve of them doing, the tendency will be, and as soon as you stop doing what that person calls the behavior you should be doing, the goals that they hold for you, since you stop following those goals, then what will tend to happen is they'll dump their whole bag of garbage on you. And love appears to turn to hate. I can't tell you how many times I've asked the question. How many of you ever had one of those relationships where love turned to hate? And, you know, 2/3 of the audience will put their hands up. Love can't turn to hate, folks. It's not possible. A love relationship, one that's actually based in human life, in this awesome active presence of love, can never be anything but that. But if we are attracted to others through the matching bags of garbage that we carry, which is what the world calls love relationships, then, of course, we'll effort to do everything they will approve of us for, and we'll call them doing that love. And then the minute, of course, we stop doing what they approve of, that garbage that they carry inside of them, they'll dump on us. It's time for that to change. It's time for us to wake up. You are the presence of love. Some of the other words that have been destroyed in our culture and have turned us backward, there is a tool, there is a technology that has been known for 2,000 years for how to remove, if you have it in your mind, hostility or fear. But you know something? We live in a culture where you can hardly talk about that. We know how to remove hostility or fear from your experience. We know that. It's been known for 2,000 years. But because the word has had its meaning changed, most people can't even talk about it, can't even think about it. The word that describes the tool with which you remove hostility or fear from your mind, from your body, from your life, from your relationships, from your experiences, is called forgiveness. You'll notice that the culture has never told you that. So you came to this work. Scour the whole culture. Find me somewhere where they can tell you that forgiveness means, oh, if you're in hostility or fear, this is how you remove your hostility or fear. And you won't find it anywhere on the planet that I know of, and I've looked for almost a half a century. The word means a tool with which you go inside yourself and remove what never belonged. And when you learn to do that, everything changes in your world. Because the hostility and fear that your culture has trained you to blame on everybody else, your spouse, your children, your parents, your neighbors, your friends, your enemies, yes, even your enemies. You've been trained to blame your enemies for what you're experiencing. You remember this fellow 2,000 years ago, he says, listen closely, be the condition of love. When you think of those who hate you and those who despitefully use you, he doesn't say love your neighbor. He says be the space of love. And that's impossible under the word system, which leads to the erroneous thinking of our culture. That's silly. But once you realize that you are a being called love, then you stand in the face of what you call the most terrible enemy, and you can maintain your human life. You can maintain the presence of love in you. And if you do that, things will be different. If your enemy can learn to do that, the one you call enemy can learn to do that, things are going to be different. You know what's going to happen? The game of enemies is going to disappear. And when the game of enemies disappears from the planet, what we're going to have is human life. And guess what? There's not going to be any more war. Oh, boy. How much money are you going to have to take out of whose pocket if you get rid of that game? That's one of the major games on the planet. Billions and billions and trillions of dollars get pumped out of people's pockets every year in the name of that game. Who wants to change that one? Not the people who are filling their pockets. Interesting film. Let's see. His name is... not coming to, but anyway, Lord of War. Lord of War.
Nicolas Cage.
He took a pay cut to do the movie Lord of War. And he's an immigrant who decides, hey, people are always going to be killing each other, so I'm going to supply weapons, and I'll be the in-between supplier that isn't legal, but all the governments use me when they need illegal operations done. At the end of the movie, after showing the gross insanity of war, they list the six largest arms dealers in the world, the six countries that are stuffing their pockets with your money. And you know who they are? They're the six permanent members of the UN Security Council. Hello? Hello? Does anybody get the insanity of that? Security Council, supply weapons all over the world? What if they gave a war and nobody came? What if everybody who's making their livelihood from some part of the weapons industry, and that's probably, I don't know if there are statistics out there, it's probably half the population of this country. What if they all quit and walked off their jobs tomorrow and stopped? What if everybody that's involved in playing that game of war said, you know something, I think that I will work toward becoming the space of active love in my life, and when I do, here's what I know will happen. I will only do things, behaviors, that we would call loving behaviors. Will I make weapons anymore? No, I'm going to quit that job. Well, gee, the country would go bankrupt. Well, you know, it might be one of the best things that could possibly happen. If that whole game fell apart and people actually did things like, you know, there's a piece of land out there that I could be growing food on and living very comfortably. I wouldn't have my big fancy cars and my fancy houses and my fancy toys, but I'd have a life and I'd have my family. Might the game be different? What would be possible if we could think logically about all the words whose meanings have been changed? What if I actually understood what forgiveness was and never again thought, oh, yes, I'll let them off the hook. Oh, yes, I'll let myself off the hook. What if I actually understood the word love and said, the next time my spouse or my child isn't doing something I want them to do, I stop and I take a breath, and instead of pouring out my venom on them, I stand as the active space of love. And I pour out my love on them. What would happen? What would happen to our culture and our world? Be a different game. But to be a different game, the conversation is going to change. We're going to have to get back to correct definitions of words. Two of the most important. Love, the state of being, it's what you are. It's not something you do to each other. And forgiveness, it's a tool. It's what you go inside yourself and remove what never belonged. If you don't understand the meanings of the words, then what happens is, based upon the contents of your mind, you'll make things up. And those made-up things will seem to be logical, sensible, and what we need to be doing. And probably half of the key important words that run the minds of most people in the world have had their meanings changed. Rose Wilder Lane, who was involved, it was her daughter, Laura, who wrote the book series, Little House on the Prairie. Laura, or her mother, was involved in the writing of that book. Back in 1948, she said, the vocabulary of America is in such a shambles that it's a threat to the whole world. She understood what was being done with words. It's time for us to wake up, start to change the game. And so that's what we're here to do, and we're delighted that you're here to join us. And Jeannie, I hear you got everything working, so that's awesome. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, and Dr. Chiam is not with us, and Michelle had said she would be on here today to share her experience, but she's not with us yet either, but we do have a caller.
Well, let's say hello to our caller then.
Okay, I believe it's Susan in Wilmington, North Carolina. Area code 910, you're on the air.
Hey, hold on, I had to unmute.
Well, hey there, Voss Living Teacher Supreme, how are you?
I'm fantastic, how about you?
I am blessed and highly favored, and I'm so delighted at what you're doing with Laws of Living and how you've taken a hold of the tools and, you know, being in your second class tonight, I understand, is your closing night for the eight-week series, and you maybe have a few things to share with us about how that's going and what's happening.
Well, actually, Thursday night will be the closing night. Tonight is Mindshifters at 5 o'clock, 5 to 7.
Pardon me, that's right. Today is Wednesday. It's Thursday. You're doing the class, right? Cool.
Well,
what do you have to share with this young lady?
Today is Tuesday, so you got an extra day there.
It is
Tuesday. It's St. Patrick's Day. So that's okay. Believe me, they're all kind of getting, you know, jumbled up for me too. So today's a busy day, but I wanted to call in and say last week it was really interesting. We did a thing where we acknowledged each other, the person on their right. And that was interesting the first year that we did it at Heartland. And I just, anyway, I watched it go around the room and we hit a new level of vitality. I think the whole, especially myself, I can speak for me. I know I did. To see the acknowledgement of each person, of each other was just amazing. And then to have, the guy that I've been sharing about with his arms crossed, I've left him anonymous, he got to share to me. I was the one that he acknowledged, and it was just really powerful for him to
Maybe you could back up for those who haven't been privy to the pieces we've been talking about on the show over the weeks. Maybe you could just back up and share his first, you know, when he first introduced himself at the class and then what he shared with you in the text message and then how did the strength storming, by the way, for those who aren't aware of it, we have an exercise in Laws of Living we call strength storming where you look another person right in the eye and you share something awesome and wonderful about them.
Yes. So the first night, I'll go back. Thank you, Michael. I'll go back to the first night when we introduced ourselves and said a little bit about what we wanted to get out of the class. There was a gentleman that was sitting the closest chair to the door with his arms crossed in front of him, and he shared that he didn't like anyone, male or female, and he had a lot of self-hate that he was wanting. That was what he wanted to work on, and that was his intention for the class, to release some of the hate toward himself and others. And you could, I had, you know, I knew when it came time for partners, people were, it was interesting to see the looks on the faces, you know, when we were partnering up with other people to work with each other for the 8 weeks. So anyway,
right.
This gentleman, he was very honest. I admired him so much. I had no idea, at least not consciously, that that was the situation with him, because we had been seeing back and forth for about 8 months. So anyway, this was news to me too, and I'm going, oh my goodness. So after about the first, second, third week, you know, it kind of got like glue. Michael and I talked. It was a lot of resistance coming up because there's a lot of work in the laws of living, a lot of beliefs and thoughts and feelings that are going to be looked at during this course. And about the fourth week, he came in, he sat across the room, the furthest from the door, and he leaned over at me and smiled and showed me his phone, a text message to a little girl. He said, look what I told her. And he was telling her that he was holding a space of love for her. And he said, read what she wrote. She said, well, what is that? And he said, hold a newborn baby. The feelings you have when you hold that baby, that's what I'm holding that you are. And he was just grinning from ear to ear. He said, I'm sure this girl wants to know what's happened to me. It was really good. We shared it when the class opened. We went around the room and he got to share that. And, of course, the group has shifted and changed, and there's a real warmth toward each other from each one of the participants. So anyway, so as the weeks went on, he's just shared last week, which I thought was amazing. We're starting to look at our dreams, and he said his dreams are happy. People are laughing in his dreams, and they're having fun. They're doing fun things, and his dreams used to be nightmares when he would sleep at night. So, and he said at work, he couldn't believe it. He said a job that he had so hated to go to, disliked the owners and the people and the coworkers, and they had games where they could see who would be the most sarcastic. He said actually had turned out to be a really nice job with people that he dearly, you know, he really liked, and the sarcasm had subsided as of last week, and it was more of a, you know, just a fun place to work. I was like, you know, it's a major shift. People were looking at each other, and when it got time to acknowledge him, the young lady beside him that got to acknowledge the growth, I could tell everybody in the class was leaning forward. They wanted, and they did afterwards, they acknowledged him that, if there was a award, he would get it for this class, The Laws of Living, the shift that I saw in him. But the interesting thing is that when he hit such a level of high, there was a week that he came in and said, sat back beside the door, and he was in depression, is what he said. You know, I'm depressed.
Back in his stuff. Next layer up.
Back in his stuff, next layer up. And we talked about that. We talked about how when your vitality, I drew the vitality meter on the board, and I showed, you know, when we come together, our vitality increases so that we can go down to the equal depths in our carbon-based memory, our unconscious mind, and we can look at things that we couldn't otherwise look at by ourselves on our own. And that was the gift that this class was. When we join together in this unity, we have the courage and the vitality to go down and look at these issues. So I just encouraged him, you know, to let's meet, let's do worksheets, let's do some breathing. And he did meet with me, and we did look at that. And then the next week was when he came back and said that his dreams was great and everything was. And then there was another layer coming up. So it has been a true blessing. And I have been asking Ruka for assistance in opening with meditation and closing with meditation. And so last week I hit a new level of vitality myself, which I have several times during this course, and I've had things come up. But, I mean, it went from 100 vitality to the depths of minus 100, and I was back having a hallucination of my childhood when my father would drink and not come home, and I was in it, and I was doing lots and lots of worksheets. I actually reached out to someone doing this work at 10 o'clock at night and got support. And it was just amazing to me to see the opportunities that relationships bring with them. So I have some questions I want to ask, but I want to give you time to say something if you'd like to comment.
Well, I just acknowledge the shifts and the difference you're making in people's lives and the contribution that you're making, shifting and changing the critical mass. It's amazing. I might suggest that seeing as how they had a sarcasm game going at his job, and now he shifted and changed his perception of the job, he might introduce the strength storming exercise and have them playing that game with each other. You know, something I really love and cherish and honor about you is, you know, just the sparkle in your eyes or the highlight in your hair or the way that you're really there, committed to your work or committed to Charlie over there who's been having some problems. You might just, you know, invite him to introduce the strength storming into his business world and see what happens.
I will do that, Michael. I will for sure do that. I would love to, I'm sure I could tell by the way they are communicating when he was talking that it's very kind. The conversation has shifted to a different person, I would say. It's a different, and that's more or less what he was saying is, I'm a different person. I don't know if they were like this all the time, but I'm different, you know. That was just so cool. It was way cool. So anything else you want to say? Because I've got a question.
No, go for it. Let's hear your question.
Okay, this is a question from somebody who likes to appear perfect, so I'm canceling my goal to be perfect. Take that hat off and say, there's a question. So we know that when you have what they call in the world chemistry, that that's matching bags of garbage. And so you meet someone, if you have chemistry, the question is, should you run toward them or run away from them? I have
well, remember
thoughts.
That the chemistry is not always based on the matching bags of garbage. For a lot of people, the chemistry also comes from their connectedness and the being, the love that they have or that they are, that they connect through that. Unfortunately, for most people, what happens is because they don't have the tools to deal with the matching bags of garbage aspect of it, those matching bags of garbage get bigger and bigger and bigger and tend to take over the relationship. But I think the chemistry comes from both sides of the fence. And if we've got the tools and recognize that, then when the so-called chemistry, the matching bags of garbage stuff comes up, we just take the tools and use them, and that strengthens the energetic connection from the state of being, the chemistry of being. And so the relationship just grows in support of the presence of love, the healing process, and really truly functioning as a human being.
Okay, that's good to know.
That would be
that's
my
a,
take.
That's an, yeah, that's a deeper level. Thank you. And there's another question that comes up. When you meet someone and you have that connection and say it's coming from a place of love and it's I would say more on the same page in alignment with each other than you've been with anybody else. But then you have the issue start to surface. Person that you're with doesn't have the tools of forgiveness and appears verbally to say, I'm not interested in any of this work that you're doing. It's nice for you, but I have my own path. I continue to do my work, and this person blames, you know, you made me, and shuts down and withdraws more and more. What is there anything, what's to be done, if anything? Just do my work, I know that.
Yeah, of course, continue to do your work, and there's several outcomes that I've seen happen over the years. I remember one woman who, with her husband, who was into drugs pretty heavily. She had been into drugs too. Doing this work, she cleaned up the drug life, stopped using drugs, and her husband stayed on that path and helped with a pretty heavy-duty group of people. And she said, I'm committed. I'm going to stay with this. And she did. And I sort of lost touch with her, so I don't know where the whole thing went. But my understanding is that her husband just stayed on that drug path and, you know, with friends who were into a pretty negative and heavy-duty lifestyle. And, you know, I have some mutual friends, and they said that about 3 years ago she had passed away. She wasn't an old woman when she passed. She was still, you know, fairly young, and I don't have any idea what the circumstances were. But that was her path, was I'm going to stay and hold this space for him, whatever he does, whenever he does it, if he comes around or doesn't. That's one option. Another option is, you know, especially if you're starting out a relationship, is to set some parameters. You know, there's a statement in the scriptures that says before two can walk together, they must be in agreement. And so you might want to look at, are you in agreement? Is this person in agreement in enough areas for you to say, well, that's cool. And, of course, we're not going to agree on everything. There are going to be some areas of difference. But the places that are areas of difference, if they're not deal breakers, you know, then, you know, there comes a point where you say, I'm going to just do my work and keep letting the layers come up that need to come up, and I'm going to make a commitment to be committed. And then there's the place that says, no, you want to live one way, and I want to live another. It just doesn't match. And so I'm going to choose to, you know, I hold the space for you. I choose to be the space of love for you. And we're not living in the same realm. There's not enough walking together to stay in agreement. And, you know, that can be the space where one says, you know, it's time for me to move out of this relationship. And so everybody has to make their choices, and there are a wide variety of options. I don't think there's a rule that applies that, well, you have to do it this way. You want to be in touch with your guidance, and being guided as to where you're heading. And if you're going to consciously create relationship, then be conscious as you create that relationship. And that will tend to serve you.
Okay, thank you, Michael. That's wonderful. I'll listen to this in the archives again so that I can, you know, hear more clearly. And I appreciate you. I appreciate your support. I appreciate you and Jeannie. Thank you for all your help and support during this class and getting people logged on to take their evaluation. Jeannie, I couldn't have done it without you. Well, I'll let you know how Thursday goes. I'm excited.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. And, you know, I mean, there are so many scenarios that we look at or we have to look at in relationship. You know, for instance, with this woman who decided that she was going to quit the drug world, and her husband just continued, and it wasn't just drugs, but a lot of nefarious activity around it. Personally, it didn't look wise to me, but that's what she chose to do, and I supported her in her commitment. And, you know, if I choose to live a clean and sober lifestyle and somebody wants to go out and get drunk every Friday and Saturday night, is that a sensible place for me to be? And, you know, there are certain activities that tend to move in a direction in most people's lives. And so I'd certainly be looking at those areas and saying to myself, well, you know, is this a place that I want to live my life? Is this the kind of lifestyle that I choose to go for? And if not, then I'm going to say thank you, but I pass.
Well, that brings up another thought, if you have a minute for me to ask another question.
Go for it. We're here.
Okay.
Go for it.
So I noticed that when I met this gentleman, there was a lot of rules that I had. And as I looked back, because of the knowing that I had that this was a relationship that was a holy encounter of whatever sorts, I didn't know if it was a business or if it was a relationship. I knew that it was something I needed to pay attention to, that Holy Spirit had my attention in that knowing
right.
department. So every rule that I had made along the way of what I would and what I would not ever want to be with again, I broke those rules. I mean, I even listed them to him. This one was something I would not have. This is something. And I know on one of the tapes, maybe it's healing through relationships, you say, this is what I will not tolerate. And 6 months later, you find yourself living with it. So,
right.
But what I became aware of just this past Thursday night after class when I was triggered was that the rules I had made had created a box where not only did I feel safe, but I felt like the person that came in my life was safe, because really the minds that I had that were karma-based memory were pretty well out of existence. I could come in, I could look like a pretty good, got-it-together spiritual person, do my worksheets on what came up. But the major issues of my childhood, I had protected myself from, such as, you know, well, I won't even go there. I'll just say they were there. So as they come up and surface, there's a part of me that thinks that it's not helpful for me to protect myself from being triggered, because when I'm triggered, I do have the tool of forgiveness to go in and remove what doesn't belong and be more the space of love, be love, which I truly am, to see what I really am. And so it wasn't helpful for me. So it's actually good that I'm seeing, okay, this rule, I've had it, but let's just clean this up. So that rule, even though I had it in place, I still had unconscious carbon-based memory that was the tuning fork that was attracting situations to me so that I could heal and let go of the whatever emotion, feeling, thought that I was holding that was less than love. Does that make sense?
And, you know,
aren't very helpful.
Now, a lot of people live in rules, so to speak, that keep them in weakness so that they don't have to deal with their lives. And so if I set myself up so that, well, nobody will ever trigger me, and I say, yeah, now I'll live a happy life, then I'm going to just leave everything that needs to be triggered and healed in hiding, and I'll never move beyond it. But on the other hand, if you know, like for me personally, I could not fathom or imagine being in a relationship with somebody who wasn't interested in doing their work. Like, you know, it just wouldn't make sense. And I have seen people who were into doing their work and got involved in relationship, and the person they went into relationship with had no interest, and 5 years later, they've dropped everything, and they kind of become stagnant and living in the, what should I say, the brainwash of the culture, just going along with what the culture says, and, you know, it's comfortable, and I have my relationship, and so things are cool. And, of course, that's a choice that everybody can make. For me, that choice wouldn't make sense, and so I think that the highest place to go in each case is to your guidance, is to really cultivate your guidance and be able to listen to the guidance. There is a power in you that knows exactly where this or that situation is going. And so if I listen to that guidance, it's going to tell me. And, of course, I have to listen carefully. I have to cultivate and develop the ability to listen on that level. But, again, you know, it might trigger me if I've decided, well, I'm not going to drink or drug. It might trigger me if somebody wants to get drunk every weekend, that they're a weekend binge drinker. And I could say, well, you know, I guess I just need to be triggered, so I'll go live in that situation. Well, I don't think that's a wise decision, just so that you get triggered. I think that I can look and say, I choose not to drink or drug, and here's somebody who does it every weekend. Well, chances are somebody who drinks and drugs every weekend over a period of time is probably going to become more than a weekend drink or drug. And so is that a wise space for me to go into? Yes, it would trigger me. But is that the kind of triggering that I need? And I would suspect that probably not. Now, you know, if I'm triggered and this person drinks and drugs every weekend and I clean up my part of the puzzle and I clean out all my triggers, you know, they might decide to drop the use of alcohol and drugs. But not highly likely if that's the lifestyle they're living before we meet. And so, you know, I wouldn't go into relationship just to be triggered.
Right.
You know, I've had people on occasion at Heartland who take it as and think it's their job to trigger people. It's like, no, our job is to hold the space for people. Their triggers will show up. I've had people who purposely, consciously done, you know, things that are out of harmony with the truth. And their excuse was, well, I was just trying to trigger them. It's like, excuse me, not my job. My job is to teach truth, be the space of love to the best of my ability, and support people when they are triggered, not to become their trigger.
I agree, Michael. I've seen the same thing with a couple of relationships that I had where the person was like, and I have actually said, please be yourself. If I get triggered, I will take care of my side of the street. But I mean, to intentionally see if you can push somebody is a little bit over the top.
I think it's just an excuse people use. Excuse people use for behaviors they don't want to deal with in themselves.
Right. I agree. Okay. This has been very informative. I'm grateful for this conversation. I will do my work and look at my values and have a conversation, have a courageous conversation. One thing I've got accused of is trying to what I believe on someone. That's one thing I've been very conscious to say, I hear that you have a path. But one conversation I did have is when an upset came up, I said, okay, so we have an upset here and I have worksheets to do. In your path, what do you have in your toolbox to use to remove the pain that comes up in you? And there wasn't an answer. As a matter of fact, they thought I was being kind of either mean or it was perceived that I was attacking. And all I truly wanted to know was do you have a hammer in your toolbox, or do you have a screwdriver? Do you have something that you can use to support you through this? And would you like to use my worksheet or my process and see if it works for you, if you don't?
Yeah. And I would suspect that the person who said, I have a path already, that was their form of attack of your path, and they don't have those tools. I remember a conversation with a guy who was very holy appearing. He was into some kind of Eastern mysticism and what have you, and he lived in an ashram and all of that. And we got talking about forgiveness, and I said, well, he says, oh, yeah, well, we handle that forgiveness stuff. And I said, well, how do you handle it? He said, well, we just forgive and handle it. And it was very similar. To him, it became an attack when I said, well, I'll offer that I haven't found any place on the planet in, the 45-plus years of research that I've done, I haven't found any place on the planet where forgiveness is understood. If your group understands forgiveness, then I want to know more about what you're doing, because there may be some facets of it that I still don't understand, and your group may have those answers. So when you're telling me you handle things and you do forgiveness, how do you do it? And he just went into a huff and walked away. So, I suspect it's possible that, his answer, and that's why he accuses you of attack. It seems to be, if we use the analogy, Dr. Tim last week was talking about mental hygiene. If we use the analogy of keeping the house clean, we live in a house, we clean the bathroom, we clean the sink, we wash the dishes, and of course we've got a dishwasher, or we've got a scrub cloth in the sink, whatever we do, and a bottle of soap. And if someone says, well, I keep the house clean, and they have nothing with which to keep the house clean, then they're not telling the truth. And I don't think that you have to push your beliefs on anybody to say, in the same way we keep our house clean and we have tools to do it, we keep our bodies clean and we have tools to do it. And I keep my mind clean and I have tools to do it. If you don't have any tools and you want to be in relationship, rather than me walking into your dirty mind, your hostility or fear-based mind, the same way as, I might walk into your filthy bathroom, I might say, I don't want to be pushing anything on somebody to say, well, we need tools for every level. It was an interesting scene, and I'm just trying to think of the film we saw recently where, let's see, Jeannie, what was the film we went to? It was just the last 10 days or so. And the comments when the parent is trying to teach the child, and not remembering exactly how the scene went, but the scenario was somebody in the environment says, well, just let them make up their own minds. You're just trying to control them. It's like, excuse me. And it was a really, what movie was that? It was a really powerful portrayal.
It was the one where they were teaching the artificial intelligence. And it started out being
AI,
like a baby.
Yeah. That's it. So this, if you go and see Chappie, great demonstration, because Chappie is this artificial intelligence device, and his owner. There were some great parallels in it. You know, the guy who designed this device, this artificial intelligence, so that this robot is able to think and feel for himself, and he's like a child and he has to grow up. And so this robot gets captured by some people who are into robbery and drugs and that sort of thing and hurting people. And so they're teaching him, and the guy who designed it, and he calls himself, he comes to Chappie the robot, and he says, "I am your maker, and you don't do those things." Very, very parallel to, you know, the rules supposedly laid down by the creator. And it was an interesting conversation because where it left it, and I thought it was very skillfully done, where it left it was, here's a guy who designed the robot trying to give him some integrity. No, we don't steal. We don't hurt people. And one of the people on the other side of the discussion, who's one of the, you know, the people who's into the drugs and robbery and such, says, "Well, you know, you just have to leave him to make up his own mind." And it was just, you know, that's the one of the arguments of the culture is, well, you can't give your child, you know, you can't tell them how to think. It's like, yeah, but you better teach them the rules of thinking and what integrity in the human life looks like. Or that culture out there is always working, pumping words and thoughts and ideas into their heads to brainwash them into thinking the way of the culture. And the child no more makes up their own mind than fly in the air in that situation. And so that movie Chappie was a pretty good demonstration of that. And, you know, there were some interesting parallels as this young man who's got integrity, who's designed this machine, is trying to teach this robot, Chappie, to have integrity. And he gets attacked for it by the quote-unquote bad guys. It's just, it's cute, and it definitely brings up the idea that we do need to be talking about how to take care of the same way, you know, if I'm going to go into a relationship with someone and, you know, they never wash the dishes. Well, we want to eat off of clean dishes. Well, you're just trying to tell me what to do. Like, no, we want to eat off of clean dishes. Well, in the same way, we want to think with clean minds. And I think that's a reasonable thing to establish as a parameter in relationship. Otherwise, you know, you get the crazies of the culture going.
Right, Michael.
That makes sense,
yes, it makes sense. And you know, when you and when I had the privilege of being with you and Jeannie, I've told the story many times. It was like living in heaven on earth, is what I said. And heaven on earth is living with another person who, for me, heaven on earth for me, I need to preface that, is like it's living with someone who's willing to take responsibility to clean up their mind if something
yes.
less than love shows up. And that's
yes.
what I
and,
felt.
And let's
it wasn't
look at,
that it was perfect. Go ahead.
Right. Yep. And let's look at the Aramaic idea. There's no such concept in the scriptures as heaven as a place off in the sky. The words that have been described as the kingdom of heaven in Aramaic speak of the community of love. And yes, it is awesome to have a home where you have a community based in love instead of the insanity of the culture. And to have a community based in love, you've got to have tools to clean up what's not love. And that's a reasonable thing to ask for in relationship. Do I want to be in relationship with someone who has no interest in keeping their minds clean?
Right.
Doesn't sound wise to me. I mean, everybody has to make their choices, but it doesn't sound like wisdom. That would be my take.
Right. Right. Thank you, Michael. I agree.
Absolutely delighted, and a little bit of strength storming. What you're doing is awesome. And we appreciate the fact that you're putting yourself out there, you're putting yourself on the line, you're doing your work, and you're passing it along to so many people. It's fabulous. It takes a lot of courage to teach that class. There are challenges, and so nice work.
Thank you. Well, I was thinking when you were talking, the joy moves through me as I do it, so I know it's right on.
I hear you loud and clear. Very, very cool.
Thank you. Thank you all for your support. And with that, I'll go on mute, and maybe we have another caller. Yes,
well, let's also add in that tonight at Unity in Wilmington, you've got a support group happening. It starts at 7 o'clock?
It starts at 5 o'clock. We go 5 to 7, and then Course in Miracles is 7 to 8.
Okay, so 5 to 7. So anybody who wants to participate in a support group that's in Wilmington, North Carolina, Unity Wilmington is where that young lady will be doing that. And then Laws of Living, well, of course, it's not an open class. They're in their eighth week. But I don't know, have you got a schedule in mind for another one? Do you know what the plan is at this point? So we can start announcing it and letting folks know.
Well, you know, I'm going to look at the calendar, and I have some people in the class that expressed they were interested, so I'm going to go from there. But the one thing I think I mentioned to you is the ongoing support night for the ones that have taken Laws of Living so far. The two classes that I've taken, having one night a month where we come together. So I'm going to get that going, pick the night for that, and then offer my next class. And I may take 2 or 3 weeks off. I've got some things going on around my residence. So once that gets stabilized, then I will, I'm thinking May or June. I really would love to do it consecutively. I love it.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Let's see what the universe opens up. I hope, you know, I can put it out there. That's my intention, to take a couple of weeks off and then continue on.
All right. Well, we hold the space. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome.
Appreciate you.
Blessing. Hardy. Bye-bye.
Okay, our next number is 313 area code. You're on the air.
313, you're on the air. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
From Detroit.
Welcome. Give us a name.
Yes.
Who are we talking to?
My phone was kind of breaking up. Okay, I think I got you.
Okay, who are we talking to?
Well, actually, I was just listening, and I thought that I...
Want to give us a name just so I know what to call you?
Oh, I apologize. My name is Brianna. You can call me Bree.
Okay, Bree. Awesome. Nice to meet you. Welcome to the show. How can we support you?
Thank you. I appreciate it. Just feeling my anxieties getting a little out there because I'm in a major move in my life. Took big steps to relocate, to get from Detroit to Houston, got the place. Now I'm trying to get back to Houston, and I'm getting overwhelmed because I don't know where I'm going to get the funds to do it. I'm just getting overwhelmed, so I was wondering if it was anything.
Did you get the car?
Pardon me?
Did you get the car? I say, did you get the car?
The car, no.
Okay.
Don't have the car. Know the car is out there somewhere. No one's coming. Don't know from where, how, because I don't. When I say I'm stepping out on faith on this move, on this journey, that is it. I am blindly moving forward because I have nothing.
Okay. Well, we'll certainly hold the space for you. Otherwise, how can we support you?
Thank you.
Have you tapped into the forgiveness process yet? It's on the website.
Yes.
So have you been doing some worksheets?
Oh, I haven't started any worksheets. I am slowed, trying to move myself out of the way, because as I walk through this process, I realize that I'm my biggest problem. I'm getting in the way. I'm trying to temper myself to learn how to get out of the way. It's not my mission, my journey. It's his for me.
So here's the fastest way I know that you can get yourself out of the way. Because what's in your way are realities in your mind. And the forgiveness process that's on the website, the worksheet process, is about collapsing those things that get in our way. That's the whole forgiveness process. So I suggest clicking the bullseye on the website, and then the second link, print off the worksheet that's at the top of that list, print a few of them, and then go to the third link, and there are 14 different MP3s. You can just click on them and listen, and we give instructions. We walk somebody through the whole step-by-step process. So what a worksheet might look like would be, number one, I, Bree, who am love, feel blocked.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe actually blocked would probably be the thought. the feeling would probably be fear.
Right.
And then go down to number 1C, and you put your own name in there again,
mm-hmm.
and I'm getting in my own way and creating a block.
Right.
So through the process, you get down to step number 3, and you identify your goal for yourself.
Okay.
Well, my goal would be, I want to be my own best support rather than the block in my life.
Right.
And the core of the forgiveness process is how I go in and I cancel that goal to allow myself to look at the deeper hidden part of my mind that
mm-hmm.
holds that I block my own path. And as I start to do that, all of a sudden, those things start to collapse and you'll get some amazing insights and see some energy shifting.
Okay. I am going to take your advice and move forward. I'm going to attempt the process that you have set out there for us. I'm hoping that I will find some great insights about myself through it, because at this point I do understand that the way of thinking which I am trying to, what do I want to say, maybe adjust, because the old ways of thinking, they're definitely not getting me where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. I appreciate your
time. Put the tool
to work. Thank you. You have a great day.
Put the tool to work, and if we can be of any support, you know, you get stuck in a step on the worksheet, call us, and we'll do our best to answer those questions.
All right. That sounds great. Thank you. You have a blessed
day. I agree. We hold you in the space of love and support.
Thank you.
And we're down to just a couple of minutes now. Gee, it's 1:57 already. And so we'll just say that if you are in the South Florida area, we've got one more workshop. And tonight we will be at Universal Truth Center in Miami, just an awesome group of people who are doing some fabulous, fabulous work together. One of the most responsive groups we've ever seen. They're starting a support group. They're actually starting a 5-week class on the worksheet process. If you're in that area, come on over tonight to Miami Gardens. Come on over and join us for the class. Get acquainted with this community. It is absolutely awesome and just fabulous support. And beyond that, we're finished in South Florida. We've been here 6 weeks, and but now we're looking at the formidable task of loading our van to get on the road after being in one place for 6 weeks. There's lots to do in that regard, but Friday we'll be on the road and heading to Sebring, Florida, just south of Orlando. So if you're in the Sebring area, we're going to be doing 6 free workshops. This Sunday we'll be at Unity of Sebring doing Why Is This Happening to Me Again, as well as the Sunday service. And then Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night, we'll be doing a full series of workshops. We'll complete there and then head to Orlando, and we'll be preparing to get ready for our 20-day teacher training, which starts on the 17th of April. So come and play with us. We'll look forward to joining. Oh, yes, we've also plugged in another 3 days of workshops at Unity of Gainesville. So take a look at the website, whyagain.org, and you'll find the schedule for Gainesville, for Sebring, and for our intensives. Jeannie will be doing Healing the Whole Woman. At the same time, I'll do a 9-day Why, and then we'll go into 12 days of teacher training. In the meantime, bring somebody to the show tomorrow. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.